It's good to be here again in the Lord's house and looking to the Lord for blessing from his word this evening. I'd also like to once again just say a big thank you to Northside Baptist Church for all of your love and support and help in relocating myself and my family over here, for taking the bill for the removalist costs and for all the lovely gifts you've showered upon us out the back there. That's very kind of you, and also anonymous gifts and just your cooperation in every which way. Thank you all so very much. We're very, very grateful, and it's very much appreciated. May the Lord bless you for your labour of love toward us, and looking forward to partnering with you here in the ministry at Northside Baptist Church. And we serve a great God, and he's not limited, and what a blessing it is to simply just be able to serve him, isn't it? What more could we give our Lord once he saved our souls but to present our lives a living sacrifice by the power of his Holy Spirit, by his grace? We're going to be looking this evening, Lord willing, in the book of Exodus and chapter 12. Exodus and chapter 12. Title for the message is Salvation Through the Blood of the Lamb. And if you've already come to know the Lord Jesus as your Saviour this night, you've already done that, then still take a blessing from this message. And if you're unsure of your eternal destiny, you are not sure that if you were to stand before God, you would be in right standing with him, this may just be the message for you. Exodus 12, and reading from verses 1 through to 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. He shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And ye shall eat it in haste, it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for your precious word. Thank you that it has within it, Lord, all that pertains to life and godliness. Father, you have every answer here. And Father, for those of us who already know you as our Saviour this night, give us great joy as we look over your wonderful redemption plan. And Father, if there be any here this night who do not yet know you, help them to see that you have wonderful things for them, that you want to save them, you want to know them personally, Father, you want to forgive them, and you want to have them in your family, Father. We do pray for that. Pray that you please empty me of myself, Lord, this night, and that you would all know the cleansing of your precious blood. You please fill me with your Holy Spirit, strengthen me with power and might in the inner man, and may all things be done for the greater glorification of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all our praise. And in his name we do pray. Amen. Salvation through the blood of the Lamb. Here we're reading this account, and this is when the children of Israel are slaves in the land of Egypt, subjugated there, forced to work under strenuous conditions, harshly treated by the Egyptians, and they've cried out to God, and they've asked to be delivered. And God has raised up Moses to be that deliverer, and he and Aaron have come to Egypt, and they're going to be, and they've been speaking with the Pharaoh, and the Pharaoh's been hardening his heart, and God would harden his heart, and God is now about to judge the Egyptians. He was about to judge this wicked nation. Now, God is definitely a God of love and mercy, but he's also holy. Our God is not a God who has any of his attributes out of balance. He is not a God which loves but then overlooks justice. He's not merciful to the point where he allows people to get away with sin. We see that God was merciful to a wicked nation like Nineveh. He sent Jonah to preach to them. They repented and they were spared God's wrath at that time. But if there is no repentance, judgment's the result. Egypt was ripe for judgment, and the time had come for the execution of that judgment. God was going to punish them. God's the perfect supreme judge. He knows all the facts. He holds all of the evidence. And you know that we, the human race, are guilty before God. And we deserve judgment for that. We've broken his laws, lived for ourselves rather than for him. And we are all sinners by nature and by practice. The Bible talks about how they go astray from the womb, speaking lies. It comes naturally, like breathing in and out, to sin. But we see that God, in complete contrast, is a God of holiness and a God of goodness. 1 John 1:5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Meaning that there's no moral imperfection in God. There's no corruption, no darkness, nothing evil or sinister in God. He's that of absolute perfection. But being a perfect God, he cannot look upon sin. So therefore, we're cut off from him before we're saved. Before we know the Lord Jesus as a Saviour, we are cut off from him because of our sins. And this places us, like the Egyptians, in a serious dilemma. God is just and holy. We're sinners by nature and practice. The death angel was going to pass through Egypt that night to execute righteous judgment. There was to be death in every house. Every firstborn of humans and animals was going to die. How could there be a way of escape for Israel? They were sinners too, weren't they? How could they escape God's wrath and God's righteous judgment? What was the way? We see verse 3, "Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house." And we see that a lamb was needed. And the Israelites all needed a lamb, otherwise they would suffer the same judgment as the Egyptians unless they took a lamb. And you know, every human being in the world needs a lamb. One in particular needs a lamb. People are foolish to think that they are good. They think that they are good enough that they don't need God's way of salvation. They don't think they need the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they think that they are good enough. But you know, until you see that you are guilty of sin and that you will one day be judged for that, and until you see that you're in need of a Saviour, you cannot escape the judgment of God. They had to see that they needed a lamb. A lamb was needed for a sacrifice. If there was no lamb, there was no protection from judgment. And interestingly, we see in Genesis 22:7-8 about God's promise of a lamb many years before. Genesis 22:7-8, "And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. And it's true that God, in his eternal plan, was going to provide a lamb. So we see that a lamb was needed. 1 Peter 1:18 to 20, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Before the light shined on the first day of creation, before the first creature took a breath of God's good air, before the hearts of the first man and woman began to beat, God had a lamb. God in his love knew we needed a sin bearer. And we remember that most of us would know there in the New Testament, John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. God had a lamb. So not only have we seen a lamb, take a lamb. We see verse 4, and if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. So a lamb was needed. Now we see the lamb. Some people wrongly believe that there are many roads to God. They believe that whether we go this way or that way, we all wind up in the same place. When I was at my basic training, we had a Catholic padre speaking to us, and he said that basically every religion is just like a cup which we contain our faith in. So whether you're a Buddhist or whether you're a Christian or whether you're Hindu or Muslim or whatever, that's just your cup which you contain your faith in. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. There's only one way to God, and that is through the Lamb of God. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. God's way of salvation and forgiveness is not through any means, but through the Lamb of God. John 14, 5-6, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14, 5-6. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Acts 4:12. And people have tried and tried to reach God through their own merits and efforts, but it is all to no avail. The way to God is found through the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who suffered and died on a cross for the sins of the world. And next we see in verses 5-6, we see your Lamb. Your lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. We see that the chosen lamb must be without blemish. A sick lamb or a lame lamb would not do. It needed to be a good quality lamb. In a manner of speaking, it needed to be a perfect lamb. A perfect lamb. Again, 1 Peter 1, 18-19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Our Lord was a perfect lamb. He was unblemished by sin. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hebrews 4:15, but we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. 1 John 3:5, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Just as the Passover lamb had to be without blemish, the Lamb of God had to be without blemish. So we see here your lamb. Verse 5 and beginning, your lamb. If an Israelite man was asked the question, where is your lamb? And his reply was, I don't have a lamb. His family was in grave danger of losing their firstborn child. If you did not have a lamb that could be called your lamb, you had no protection from God's righteous judgment. You might say, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Yes, but is he your lamb? Is he your lamb? Sometimes people believe that the Lord Jesus is the Saviour of the world, but he is not their personal Saviour. I've got a good friend and he was raised as a Catholic. And he always knew that Jesus died for the sins of the world. But he never realised that Jesus had died for him personally. And there must be a time when you receive the Lord Jesus as your personal Saviour. Take him as your lamb. Not only did he die for the sins of the world, but was for you in particular. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially of those that believe, 1 Timothy 4:10. Is he your lamb, your Saviour? Also in verse 6 we see the death of the lamb. The death of the lamb. And you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And we see that the lamb had to die. If you imagine an Israelite home, it would most times have probably been the father who sacrificed the lamb, quite possibly. There was one thing for certain at this time. Every house of the Israelites, like the house of the Egyptians, would experience the death of a family member unless there was a substitute. And the lamb was the substitute which would die. The lamb had to die effectively in the place of that firstborn child, in a sense. The lamb was the substitute. The lamb had to die. And so it was with our Lord, as he had to die for our sins. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Hebrews 2:9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honour, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He died in our place. People think that they're not so bad. They think that God will accept them because they don't see themselves as bad as people who are in the maximum security jails or such like. Tell me, if anyone is good enough to go to heaven, why did the Lord Jesus come and suffer and die? If we could be free, if we could be in heaven, if we could have fellowship with God by being good people, why did Jesus die? Because quite simply, because all of us are sinners. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, Romans 3:10. Our Lord had to die in our place and mine. Also, we see in verse 7 about the application of the blood. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. We see that the blood had to be applied. It was not enough for only the lamb to die, but the blood had to be applied. The blood had to be applied to the top and the sides of the doorway of the home. And until you have been cleansed in the precious blood of Christ, judgment still comes. Judgment still comes. One of the hymns says, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Can you sing with that and say, yes, I'm washed? Says, are you washed? And you can echo that, yes, I'm washed. And what a privilege and what a blessing, if that's your testimony or not, if you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. But once we have been saved, once we have trusted Christ as our Saviour, the blood has been applied to us. And when God looks at us, he cannot look at us with wrath anymore. Also, we see in verses 12 to 13 that it was only through the blood that they could be saved. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Without the blood, they couldn't be saved. And you know, there's not a sinner on the earth who can be saved without the blood of Christ. Not until the blood has been applied can they be saved. And for anyone who doesn't know the Lord, if you don't know the Lord, why not fall at the feet of the Lord Jesus, confessing your guilt as a sinner and asking for his cleansing? And genuine repentance and faith, God will do that. And you say, well, I'm a believer tonight, I've already been saved. But the blessing of the blood doesn't stop there. Not just for the forgiveness of sins, but the blood is there for our cleansing as well. Hebrews 10:19-20 says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. The access is open to God now due to the blood of Christ. That gives us access. Before we're saved, we're barred from God's presence due to our sins and our transgressions. They've separated us from God. But we see, once we've been forgiven, we see that the blood gives us access to God. And there might be times where you failed God in your life, and you know you're a Christian, but you know you've sinned, and you feel like you can't be in God's presence. You have direct access by the blood of Christ. And you can go straight back to God, straight into his presence on those merits, and say, Lord, I'm coming on the merits of the precious blood of Christ. Direct access by the blood. Also, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, it's a different relationship now, once we're saved, and the blood plays a different role. Still a cleansing role, but not one from forgiveness of sins, but a continual cleansing, as we with God can walk on a day-to-day basis, and we're able to speak with him, walk with him in the light, and we can confess our sins to him as our Father, and to know the reality of the cleansing of the precious blood. Different relationship now. No longer barred from his presence, but we can walk in his presence and we can know that cleansing. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So the next time that you feel that you can't go into God's presence, know that you have the access there. And know that if you're open with God and you speak with God, you can also know his cleansing. Trust that's been an encouragement to you tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll sing together. Father, we thank you so much for the precious